Now.
Recorded live on DementiaRadio.org, it's the Funny Music Podcast, brought to you by TheFump.com, where you can download new free comedy songs twice a week. Now, here's your hosts, Devo Spice and the great Luke Ski.
Hey, Devo.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, Ian.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mom.
Welcome to episode 34 of the Funny Music Podcast for February 3rd, 2011.
If I could ride you was...
Oops, sorry.
Hey.
Bye.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I think I'm going to steal Brett G's idea and write a song about the reliability of Skype. I'm picturing like rappers like cutting in and out, and that could be funny.
What's really funny is you cut out when you said that.
So,
damn it.
So, what is the date again?
February 3rd, 2011.
Alrighty 2011. Then. And who are our guests, Mr. Devo Spice?
We're here with Insane Ian and Steve Goody, who you already said hi to.
Hi. So
people knew that already, but hey!
Wow.
God, I'm tired.
Can I start with a question before you kick everything off?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Do you have to say Happy Groundhog Day, or can you say Happy Holidays?
Depends on if the groundhog is kosher.
Okay. Kosher groundhog.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tastes the best. Yeah, it's kind of chewy.
It's a theme developing.
Yes.
So before
I think
we go,
I haven't seen The Simpsons in so long.
So, Devo Spice, what have you been up to lately, sir?
I've been up to 3:45 last night. I am freaking tired. I finished my first mobile app. I developed an app for iPhone and Android for a client and delivered it today. I was up till 3 working on that last night. And then after I got the app installed on the guy's phone, I actually had to borrow his phone to install it because I was still learning the whole process. After that, I had to go outside and shovel the frozen snowbank at the bottom of my driveway, where I quickly learned that shoveling ice at 3:30 in the morning sucks. So, yeah. And then yesterday, driving to work, I damaged my car, unfortunately. Driving down Route 17, come around a bend, and there are just 2 to 3 foot diameter ice chunks in the middle of the road. And there was a car in the lane next to me, and I couldn't swerve, and there was a snowbank on the right of me, and I couldn't go over there. So I slowed down as best I could without slamming on the brakes and, you know, spinning out on the ice. But I ended up, you know, just creaming one of the big chunks of ice, and it went under my car, and it ripped a whole bunch of stuff off, and it bent a bunch of crap and stuff. So
creamed ice chunk.
That sucks. Yeah. And happier news yesterday, I went to the Weird Al book signing in Ridgewood.
Woohoo!
Cool.
And for Odd Austin, who I know is listening, I can now confirm that Weird Al does know about the existence of the new tribute album that's in the process. I asked him if he'd heard about it. He said he had heard some rumblings about it, but didn't know if it was actually going to happen or not. And I assured him that it would actually happen. And I told him that I finished my song for it and gave him the rundown on that song and stuff. And so that was cool. And I picked up the book and I read it to my kids last night, and it was fun.
Excellent. Does it really have the innuendo in it that I heard?
He does indeed, and it really caught me off guard. I actually stopped reading. I was like, wow, okay.
And yeah, Mr. Clean all of a sudden, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Clean, and I'm going to write a children's book. Dirt, filth, florn, filth.
It is especially odd considering he dedicated the book to his daughter. So it's like, wow, you're really, really going to go there, huh? Part of me was thinking, well, maybe he didn't know. Maybe it was something, just an innocent mistake. And then I thought, no, this is Al.
he's
a comedian. He knows about, because it's like a really well-quoted quote from one of the Austin Powers movies. And it's like, everybody knows that, especially people into comedy know that. But it's so.
Yes. So, okay. Yeah.
Had I read the book before I talked to him, I would have asked him about it. And I actually had the opportunity to do that because I showed up to the book signing a day early. So I bought the book, And then went back the next day to have it signed. And so, what have you been up to, Luke?
Well, I Sarah and I went to visit the lovely Shoebox and Kim up in Rochester because
Shoebox is lovely, isn't he?
Yes, he is quite lovely. And if you're going to, you know, if you're living in Chicago and you're going to take a little weekend getaway vacation in January, Rochester is really the place you want to go.
Yeah,
Flying into Buffalo there. So, Saturday we went out to Niagara Falls and to Canada Land. And
Niagara Falls. Sorry. Go on.
So visited there for the first time, and that was all neat to see the falls for the first time, and to discover that you know, much of that area is very much like the Wisconsin Dells, very kitschy and touristy, and I love that kind of stuff.
Was the walkway next to the falls like an inch of solid ice?
Well, we didn't get too close to the falls just because we were, you know, walking and it was cold and stuff. But there was a lot of neat ice formations, you know, around where the falls are.
Yeah, because I went there once in winter when I lived in Rochester, and it was, you know, I mean, cold, obviously. But, you know, all the mist that comes up from the falls, you know, touches down on the ground and freezes pretty much instantly. And it built up to about an inch thick within, you know, all the way around on that road that runs next to them. So it's really neat.
So yeah, we went to the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum just for the heck of it, and they had one of the if you remember, I was on the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd during season 3 playing P.T. Barnum, and
yeah,
the plot involved the famous Fiji Mermaid, which was basically a kind of a mummified monkey top glued to a fish bottom thing. They had one of the supposed genuine Fiji mermaids there on display, and I'm like, this is so cool. So yeah, I tried to look up on Wikipedia whether or not that was actually, you know, P.T. Barnum's genuine one, or if it was just one of many you know, rip-offs of a hoax. So
yeah, I went to that museum too, and the one strip club I've ever been to in my life is right in that neighborhood too.
So, yeah, and then the following day we went to a different, more legitimate museum. The I forgot the specific name of it, but it's in Rochester, and it mainly has to do with children and playing and toys and stuff, and they had the whole video game exhibit there full of arcade games. So
yes,
we spent a bunch of time, you know, hanging out there, and you know, I found the Intellivision display. It's like, ha-ha, it does exist. So, you know,
and did you film a video for your song while you were there?
Well, not really, just because there's just one, you know, slight. It's like they had an Intellivision unit and like two boxed games, and that was, they didn't even have like a placard up saying, "Oh, this is Intellivision," blah blah blah. It just kind of seemed like, all right, we have to put in one. You know, well, let's concentrate on Atari and Nintendo over here. But you know, anyway,
I have more Intellivision stuff than that in my house.
So you live in a museum? Or a museum. It would be a museum.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I see what you did there.
That's comedy.
Well, I'm getting an echo, by the way. If anybody else is, or I don't.
I was also
on everybody, or just me? I heard one while ago, but it's been gone for a while.
Well,
let's take it stop now.
All right.
Anyway.
Let us continue.
Let us continue.
So, yeah, then came back home, did a whole lot of MarsCon stuff while I stayed inside while it snowed and snowed and snowed. And
oh, yeah, you're in Chicago, aren't
you? Yep. You know, the so-called
snow... I swear to God, I just remembered that. I'm like, hey, Chicago's
in New Jersey,
a shitload of snow. Luke's in Chicago.
The guy in New Jersey is laughing at the guy in Chicago.
I told you, man, I'm freaking tired.
Mm. Yeah. So Sarah and I got out our shovels, and we even had some help with from a neighbor with a snowblower so that we could clear out at least enough of our driveway so that both of our cars could get to the street. And it's so awesome and nostalgic for me to see, like, those, you know, like a foot and a half high of snow on the ground, and then you dig or snow shovel out like that perfect little trench corridor. You know, it's like, this is the sidewalk, and then this is the path up to the house. And I don't know. It just, growing up in Wisconsin, seeing snow formations of that kind just make me feel like a child all over again.
Did you see the guy who made the Star Wars video out of a trench like that?
Yes, I did.
So I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
For those people who don't know, it's somebody made, you know, just, you know, using a snow thrower on their front walk up to their porch, and then they just took a camera and ran it through like the end of Star Wars when going through the trench. And then they like superimposed an X-Wing fighter over it and like blew up his front door and stuff. It was great.
Well, that's about it for me. So let's get to Mr. Insane Ian.
What, me?
Yes, you.
Wow.
Yeah, because chronologically you came first this week.
You did.
Wow.
Well done.
That's a first.
So tell us about this song.
Well, it's been so long since I talked about being a nerd. I thought I'd finally revisit that old nutshell. Actually, this is a song I wanted to do a couple months ago. Because it was popular a couple months ago. It's still
way
still
back in 2010.
Popular. What's that? You're way back.
Back in 2010.
Well, no, I wanted to do it like in October or November when the song was like peaking on the charts. But it was still, you know, running around on the charts. I still hear it on the radio a lot. And I was like, well, I can still do it now. And plus, I had more timely things to do in those months. So I pushed it back and pushed it back and finally got it done. And really under the wire, too, this time. This was the... I had the song half written and the music half done. And then people got sick and, you know, other people got sick and family members got sick. And so it got pushed back and snow happened here. And then, so schedules didn't happen right. And then finally, you know, via email, got everything finished and got it uploaded to the FUMP 45 minutes before it went live on the site.
You are now officially a FUMPer.
Yes, clearly.
I've done that.
Tonight, the part of Luke Ski will be played by. So, the song kind of, when I first heard it, I was like, this guy's complaining about. He's not really complaining, but he's like talking about how this woman acts, you know, so standoffish. He's like, you think you're so much cooler than me. And I was like, well, I know people who think that people are cooler than them that are the cooler than them. Let's explore that. And I took it to the, well, I tried to take it to the most nerdy extreme that I could.
Yeah, I think you went pretty nerdy extreme in this one. So tell us about this mullet.
I had a mullet in college. When I did stand-up for the first time, I grew a mullet. I looked like an emaciated Hulk Hogan. It was frightening. I had this Van Dyke goatee thing going and this crazy-ass mullet because my hair naturally is curly, and if it gets long enough, the top of my head, the law of gravity does not apply to. So I get this weird kind of Jufro happening up top. But the back of my head is it grows long and down, and so it looks like this fro mullet action. It's horrible. It's frightening. And I grew it on purpose like that for my stand-up act. And because I thought, hey, I'm wacky enough. Let's add weird hair to it too. So my wife has made a deal with me after seeing these pictures of me in college with the long hair and says, we'll make a deal. You always cut your hair. I will never cut my hair. All right. Good deal. Cause I like long hair on her. So, but yeah, me with a mullet was just, it's frightening. I think that's basically where I can leave it.
So Luke commented on the song on the site. He says, hearing this makes me glad I didn't do my Oliver Twist song, Grueler Than Me. And I just want to say that, yeah, I'm glad you didn't do that either, because that sounds like a terrible idea.
I found the irony in that being that Oliver was one of the first shows I did as an actor.
Ooh, oh, nice.
Which part were you?
Workhouse Boy number 3.
So that was the guy in the back on the left?
No, the right.
The right, of course.
Third in.
I've never actually seen Oliver Twist.
It's good. It has many songs worthy of parody.
I think I was supposed to read something like it in high school.
Yes, by that Dickens fellow.
Yeah, probably. Probably in the long list of books I was supposed to read in high school and didn't.
I remember in high school I was in a theater class and I was supposed to have read and written a report on a whole bunch of a whole list of plays to choose from, and I didn't get around to reading a bunch of them. So either the day before or the day they were due, I skipped school, went to the video store and rented a bunch of the movies based on the plays, and then watched all those and then wrote up quick reports on those and tried to send them in. And or
yes.
Turn them in. I can't remember what kind of grade I got, but it probably wasn't that great.
I tried doing that with the book of Oliver Twist, and I was disappointed that the book did not have as many songs.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or car chases.
They don't
Well, neither really has as many car chases.
They don't do musicals in book form very often, do they?
They do, but they're basically just birthday cards. They just have that little speaker in it.
You know what they need to do? They need to take like, you know, a big name comic book and then like turn that into a musical. That'll go great.
Yeah.
I agree.
I can't think of anything else clever to ask.
I can't either.
Oh, darn.
Do you have anything clever to add, Ian?
Matzo balls. No, apparently I don't. Balls.
Can
I'm
you?
Sorry, like I'm getting over the flu right now, so I'm sitting here at the microphone sweating and eating cough drops. So
yeah, we're all in great shape tonight. You're getting over the flu. I'm working on 3 hours sleep. This is wonderful.
I do have to say, the entire time I had the flu, I had your song "Flu" stuck in my head. From Fatal Error.
Yeah, that song is disturbingly accurate.
Yeah. Once my fever broke, I was feeling good, but for some reason, the day after, my back and my eyeballs hurt.
Yeah, I saw that update. How do your eyeballs hurt?
Okay, like, you know how you look at stuff? Yeah, that's a great intro, by the way.
Generally, yes.
Yes. You know when you look at stuff, you can turn your eyes to look at them instead of turning your whole head. Your eyes will turn toward it sometimes. Yes. When I do that, it hurts.
Huh.
So I have to turn my whole head instead of just turning my eyes, because otherwise it feels like they're being stabbed from the inside of my skull.
That's fascinating. I didn't know that was possible.
Neither did I. I'm a guinea pig.
Can you troubleshoot my Droid X to get on the Verizon wireless network?
I can, but not from here.
Okay. Can you play Angry Birds?
I can.
Okay.
Can you do it without moving your head?
I have to. Luke, okay. You sent me one text message today, and it came up in 5 parts, and yeah. They were scrambled.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the deal was with that. Plus the autocorrect, I was trying to say the word, like, as one word, emails, and instead it said the word snails. So I was talking about your friend, and I said, he hasn't responded to any of my snails.
Yes, I saw that. And I was like, you're sending him snail mail?
No, I'm sending him actual snails.
I'm sending him escargot. Well, it came in 5 parts, and what's really funny is part 2 arrived first.
Well,
so
nice.
The first text message I got, hang on, I'm pulling it up on my phone, says, "Osed to have my Al song muss."
You naughty boy.
So it already started out really well.
Someone should write a song about cell phones and how there's too many things that they do and they don't just work properly as phones.
I want to play that to every person I work with.
If only there were a website that posted songs like that for free download.
I knew. Oh, wait!
TheFump.com.
Yes. All right. Why don't we just get to the song then?
You could be like that guy from Illinois who ordered 10 CDs yesterday.
Really?
Thank you, guy from Illinois.
Thank you, guy from Illinois. He ordered volumes 1 through 10.
Excellent.
So those went out today.
Hey, real quick, before we play this song, people, as a struggling artist here, I'd like to ask something of you. Please, please, for my sanity, please leave me comments. Not just to say that you like the song. That'd be nice. Even if you don't like the song, leave a comment. I'm looking for constructive criticism so that I may hone and refine my craft. And if I'm getting no replies, no words on my work, I don't know how I'm doing, and I shall fall apart.
As an asterisk to that, those of you who see when I have songs posted at the Fump, if you don't like my songs, don't leave a comment. I want only positive comments on my songs because I am a fragile little eggshell person who will crumble and die should anyone say, I don't like your song. So
I actually want people to tell me if they don't like it or not. I understand where you're coming from on that, and I would be like that normally, but I kind of want people to, as long as they have a way of constructively backing that up, I don't like it because your voice sounds like you're drowning a cat. I can understand people telling me that. But if you're saying, I don't like it because you look like you smell, that's not constructive criticism. I want constructive criticism as to why you don't or do appreciate my song.
I understand that. When I post a song, I would like only negative comments about Luke and Ian's song.
And I want nothing but new and interesting recipes for banana bread.
You're so much trouble.
I'll get Sarah on that immediately.
You're right, because I don't like banana bread. I don't know why that was the first thing that popped into my head right now.
That was good, though.
All right. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, on the Funny Music Podcast, Insane Ian with Cooler Than Me. Here we go.
If I could write you a song to make you understand that I'm so sick of getting my face shoved in the sand, I used to think you'd relate to my sad beach fate, but you probably don't. You're so much cooler than me. You know all the people at Office Depot. They know you by name cause you're cooler than me. Your members only jacket caused quite a racket at the trendy nightclub. You're so much cooler than me. You got a unibrow across your face, and you don't even care that it looks strange, and you don't care who stops and stares when your laugh makes that much noise. Shh, I see you out at the con, walking around like a Klingon. Behind your makeup, nobody knows who you even are. Who do you think that you are? If I could peek in your room, I could just surmise how you found underoos that were made in your size. You have 18 pairs of ones with Care Bears that you wear every day. You're so much cooler than me. You're a dungeon master approved by NASA. You can be seen from space. You're so much cooler than me. You speak native Na'vi. Can you say envy? You know I see you, you're so much cooler than me. You kinda stutter and trip when you walk, and you don't even blush when you pass gas. You wear tap shoes whenever you're out, and your steps make so much noise. Shh, I want to be cool as you, but I can't get my hair to look like yours. You've got a mullet with business up front and a party in back. The party's always in back. Cause it sure seems, it sure seems, got it all figured out.
You figured it out.
Cause in your dream, you're rhinoplasty, you're snout. If I could have one moment just to get you alone, I could steal a lock of hair and then make me a clone. You know I know the way to mesh our DNA, but it's a crime against man. You're so much cooler than me. Your collection of fungus is so humongous. I wish mine was too. You're so much cooler than me. You see where all the space went in your parents' basement. You just moved down there. You're so much cooler than me.
What do a bunch of real Mormons...
Hi there, I'm Bob.
My name is Glenn.
My name is Melissa.
I'm Andrea.
My name's Logan.
Have to say about a bunch of fictional ones...
Bill.
Bad girls.
Bill.
Joey.
Joey.
Roman.
JJ. Wanda. Adeline.
JJ. Bill.
Martin.
Ben.
Dale Thomason.
Albie.
Albie.
Most sincerely, Hollis Green.
That's awesome.
A lot. Unofficial Big Love. The podcast where real Mormons talk about fictional Mormons. Coming soon.
Time for funny music news. Something, something, something. 3 cups Bisquick, 3/4 cup sugar, 1 egg, 1/2 cup milk, 1 cup mashed overripe bananas, 3/4 cup nut chopped. Mix all the ingredients together and put into a 9x5x3 greased and floured loaf pan. Bake at 350 degrees for 55 minutes to 60 minutes.
Wheel Devo Spice to the hospital as he goes into anaphylactic shock for eating something with peanuts in it. You have to add that to the end. In the news this week, Weird Al Yankovic has released a children's book, as we alluded to before. Just released the other day on February 1st. It is in bookstores everywhere. It's called When I Grow Up, and it tells the tale of little Billy, who tells the class all the things he wants to be when he grows up. It was illustrated by a gentleman named Wes Hargis, and it was actually a really cool book trailer for it on YouTube, where Al reads sections of it and they animate some of the illustrations. Just do a search for Weird Al and When I Grow Up, and it'll show right up. He's got a bunch of book signings coming out to promote it. He's already had the two in New Jersey. I went to one of them.
Twice,
yes. Coming up on February 12th, he'll be in Los Angeles, California at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove at 2 p.m. On February 13th, he'll be in Van Nuys, California at Costco at 1 p.m. So apparently you can buy the books in bulk. On February 15th, he'll be in Irvine, California at A Whale of a Tale at 4 p.m. And on February 18th, he'll be in Naperville, Illinois at Anderson's Bookshop at 7 p.m. And all the information can be found at weirdal.com. That's W-E-I-R-D, people, weirdal.com.
Yeah, Carrie is going to be at the Naperville one. And I found out today that Patton Oswalt, who also has a new book out called...
Zombie Spaceship Wasteland.
Thank you. I was just grabbing the book so I could make sure I got those three words in the correct order. He's going to be in the Chicagoland area doing a book signing on the same day. So I think his is earlier in the afternoon at 3, but I'm probably still going to have to pick one of the two to go to. And since I've already met Al, I'll probably go to the Patton one and then go to work. So yeah.
Neither of them are going to be in my town. I are sad.
In other news, Dino Mike had a close encounter recently with Sony's legal department. Sony apparently emailed Mike saying that the video for All the Same was an infringement on their copyright, and that instead of making YouTube take the ad down, they have embedded ads in the video so they can collect that revenue. Mike replied, stating that there was no copyright violation. The song is a parody, which is legally protected, and there were no samples in the song. Every bit of audio and video was created by Mike. Mike then demanded that Sony remove the ads from the video, and Sony surprisingly backed down. They apologized for the confusion and said they didn't realize it wasn't a cover and recognized that Mike has the right to parody. So go Sony.
Wow.
Hooray
go
for Sony.
Mike.
Yeah.
Damn. He's raging against the machine.
And winning.
Yeah.
Okay. And a couple of quick tour dates to announce. Mark Gunn will be in Birmingham, Alabama tomorrow, February 4th, and he'll be in Crestview, Florida on Saturday, February 5th. Nuclear Bubble Wrap will be performing in Nashville, Tennessee next Thursday, February 10th. And Luke Ski will be at Capricorn in Wheeling, Illinois next weekend, February 10th through 13th.
And me and Rob Balder will be at Farpoint, February 18th to the 20th in Timonium,
Maryland.
Yeah,
I'll talk
about
that one next week.
Sorry.
I didn't know you were going to be there. So it's good to know.
Yeah, actually, I got booked before Rob did.
Nice. Okay. So, Luke, Mars Gun Dementia fundraiser update.
We are at 97% on our way to the goal.
Wow.
So, if one
what
more
do you need,
person...
like $10?
Technically 26. So if one more person goes and buys the 3-CD collection for $30, then we will be officially at our goal. However, I should point out that just because we are about to hit our goal, as we've established before, Rob Balder was generously allowing us to use the tickets for the Party Rob Party Bus to help with the fundraiser. So once we get beyond our goal, funds that come in through the fundraiser will go to Party Rob to help him offset his costs for the bus. So basically, just because we're going to hit our goal doesn't mean you shouldn't, you know, be interested in continuing to, you know, buy the CDs there and stuff, because it'll help Rob out, and he's helped us out. So, but yeah, please go to MarsConDementia.com, and you could be the person that puts us over the top and hit our goal officially. So
I just got a text from Dino Mike saying that Sony will be sending a check for $10,000.
Yay!
That should help.
So, yeah, and then in other MarsCon news, and this is completely separate from the fundraiser, it's its own entity. Every year I've put together this cartoon image t-shirt of all of the acts from the Dementia Track along the theme of whatever the con's theme was every year. Last year it was Dark Lords and Femme Fatales. The year before that it was Alien Invaders. And the year before that it was video games. And this year, the theme was Days of Magic. So I decided, since the awesome TV's Kyle is coming this year, I would ask him if he'd be so kind as to do the illustrations. And fortunately for me, he was. So he did all those illustrations, sent them to me. I colored them in and arranged them on the t-shirt. And it is now for sale. The fundraiser isn't making any money off of this. I'm not making any money off of this. MarsCon isn't making money off of this. Kyle isn't making any money off of this. The only people who are the people at Spreadshirt who are printing up the shirts. So just want to make sure people know that fact so they don't buy it under false pretenses. But basically, people just wanted nifty shirts, and this is our way of coming up with it. So if you'd like to see the design or get the links to order the shirt, just go to MarsConDementia.com. There's a link in the upper menu bar there that says T-shirt. You can click on that. It'll show you the image, and you can click on the links there. Actually, I think it's tinyurl.com/magicshirt is, I think, what it is. But like I said, MarsConDementia.com to get the links there. So the shirts won't be available for sale at the convention. You have to order them in advance. I think it's about a 5 business day delivery window or something like that. So if you order it sometime relatively soon, you'll have it in plenty of time for the convention.
And I have seen this image, and Luke, you have to be commended. You did an excellent job staying inside the lines.
Well, you know, Photoshop makes it easy to stay inside the lines. Because... because I'm much too lazy to print those up and color them in by hand.
It's still beautiful, however you did it.
And basically, due to the success of Avada Kedavra, for the second year in a row, Steve Goody is Voldemort. So,
yeah. All of a sudden, I got no hair on all these images.
It is an awesome design, though. Yeah. Kyle did a really good job.
It was, yes, he did.
And for the record, I was the one...
did too, Luke.
Well, no. I just wanted to say, there was, when I was kind of getting people to guess who was what band and stuff when I first posted the images, I was the person who made the bonehead decision to split Possible Oscar between two themes. I had Jared and John as Penn and Teller, and then Nathan and Jeff as Hordak and Orko from the He-Man universe. And that apparently really confused people, and people weren't able to kind of make that connection that those four characters were, you know, all one band. So note to myself for next year, don't split up themes amongst bands and stuff. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just really wanted to work Penn and Teller in there just because I felt they were worthy of inclusion in a magic theme. And for the record, the one thing nobody guessed, the name of the character Devo Spice is Presto from Dungeons & Dragons. The cartoon from the 80s.
I thought it was from Dungeons and Dragons. I just couldn't remember his name.
Yep.
So, yeah, anyway, never really got that.
D&D Devo Spice.
Aha!
So, and you know, I've never played D&D.
Neither have I.
Neither have I. Maybe we should
remain quiet.
Oh, now we got something to do at MarsCon Saturday night.
Yay!
As if we didn't before.
I just got a message from Jay Kitty, who says, "Hey, there, you should have hit the goal now." So apparently Jay Kitty has put us over the top. So yay!
Yay.
Thank
Jay
you, Kitty. Jay Kitty!
So Sony can just tear up that check.
Wait, no! All right. And now it's time to interview Mr. Steve Goody.
Hi, Steve.
Niagara Falls. Ha. Huh.
So what's the story behind this wonderful little ditty you posted?
Well, sarcasm noted, but
enthusiasm.
I think all the information is there on the site, but I'll just recreate it now. My buddy Aaron and I wanted to write some kids' songs that had nothing to do with Harry Potter. I don't know why. So we came over, we decided to write as many one-minute songs as we could in the 2 hours we had, and we came up with three, and the hot dog song is one of them, and it was very amusing to write and even more amusing to record. And so it got done in just a couple of days, and Dr. Demento played it, actually, the day before, or 2 days before it came out on the Thump, which was
I saw that,
surprising.
Yes.
I didn't know that that was going to happen. And then, and it got immediately banned from the Bluebird because I don't know if everybody knows what the Bluebird Cafe is, but it's a songwriters venue in Nashville, which is fairly famous amongst country songwriters. And I'm the MC on Sunday nights there, and I also play very often at the Monday night open mic. And there's a policy at the open mic: you're not supposed to do anything obscene or that you wouldn't want to listen to while you're eating. So I figured, well, this song's a little gross. Maybe I should check with my friend who is the host on Monday nights. And she listened to it and she said, "I was grossed out and I wasn't even eating." this might be amusing to 10-year-old boys, but this won't play at the Bluebird. So before it aired anywhere, it was banned at the Bluebird. And I felt very proud of that.
Nice.
Thanks.
So when you recorded this, did you have to speed up your recording at all, or did you actually sing it that fast?
I did slow down the recording so I could sing it, but not because I wanted to, not because I couldn't sing it that fast, but because I wanted my voice to sound a little pitch shifted up. I can sing it that fast. It took a lot of work, but I can. So,
whoop-de-doo.
Good question.
If you can sing Dumbledore, you can sing this.
Yeah, this wasn't really.
Well, that's
that.
What I was thinking, because I was like, yeah, Steve sings Dumbledore. He can sing this one too. But I was just curious how you recorded it.
Yeah, it does take some work to record any of to sing any of these, but once I've practiced enough, they just kind of fall out.
I did a song in high school that had a verse that was done at double speed. So it was just, you know, blah, 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 really fast, just to see if I could do it. And it took a lot of work to get that memorized. But everyone I ever played the song for was like, "Oh my God, that's awesome." So,
nope.
Of course, you can't understand a damn word I'm saying, but
nope.
So did you consider doing What's in My Taco Bell Meat instead of What's
you
in
know,
My Taco Bell
Meat? It's funny you should ask that. No, we never thought about that.
Yeah.
So it's still yours. Go for it.
That's okay.
Write that Chalupa song you've been burning to write.
Write That Chalupa Song is the name of my next CD.
No, the first place my brain went was Bulbous Bouffant. Chalupa. I know that's not in the sketch, but I think it should be. So you already answered my question about how the song got banned, and that's it. So that's the only questions I got for you. What do you got for him, Luke?
If you were a tree... Actually, I wanted to know just, you know, kind of, this is going to sound like a dumb thing to say, but just the life story of Steve Goody, like, you know, where'd you grow up? How did you, you know, become the man you are today?
Just, you well, know. First of all, I want to thank you for considering me grown up and a man. I'll give you the short version. Born in Connecticut, raised in Philadelphia and Chicago suburbs, went to school in Wisconsin. At Lawrence University for 2 years, dropped out, wandered around the country on a motorcycle, wound up in Gainesville, Florida, worked in a recording studio there for a couple of years, then decided I needed a bigger market to achieve my goal of being a big-time record producer, so I moved to Nashville, where I lived for about 8 years, and then moved to Los Angeles, where I lived for another 8 years, and now I live back in Nashville, and now I'm a big-time record producer.
Yay!
Or something.
That Lawrence University, is that in Appleton?
It is.
Yeah.
Or it was. I think it's still there.
Some friends of ours, Keith Rose, a.k.a. Keterman, and also Mariana Allen, a.k.a. Lady Omniscience of Dementia Radio. They both went to Lawrence University and had a comedy music radio show called Insanity on the Airwaves. So,
what years was that?
That would be late 90s, very early 2000s. So
they're much younger than I am.
Yes.
Okay.
That, unfortunately, time and space and math have led to that. I'm sorry.
Son of a
time and space and math. How I hate you all.
Did you grow up in Connecticut?
No, we moved from there when I was 3.
Oh, okay. So I grew up in Connecticut. Whereabouts?
Born in Norwalk, and then we lived in Fairfield and New Haven.
That's my old stomping grounds. Yeah,
they threw us out.
My grandmother lives in Norwalk. I grew up in Trumbull, which is right next to Fairfield.
They told us to stay away from the old Rockwell house.
Yeah.
So we did. They didn't say anything like that.
So we did.
That's quite an echo right there.
So we did.
Yeah.
So we did.
Oh, I love Skype.
We're going to go into some kind of weird Mishki loop of doom or something.
That's the name of my next album. Mishki loop of doom.
We did.
Macadamia.
Jalupa.
Niagara Falls.
Banana bread. MarsCon. There, now we're back. Okay.
I want no negative comments.
I want all negative comments.
Bus.
So I think you're going to get your wish. You keep that up.
Oh, good Lord. So what's next on the horizon for Steve Goody Enterprises Incorporated?
Well, MarsCon, of course.
MarsCon?
Yeah. That's the first weekend in March.
Wow.
Yeah. Thought I'd tell you that. Before that, I'll be in Los Angeles the week before that, and I'll be playing on the 26th at the Talking Stick, wherever that is, somewhere in the Los Angeles area.
I have no idea where that is.
Me neither.
I hadn't heard.
Unlike Connecticut, I know very little about the landscape of California.
Yeah. Oh, and here's something fun. On Saturday, February 12th, my wife and I will be performing at an event entitled Love is Deaf. A Valentine's event. This is the third annual time they've done this on Valentine's weekend. Couples perform together, mostly funny songs of love. And so we've done it 2 years in a row, and we're trying to think of another funny romantic song. And this year we're going to do one written by my good friend Ty Hager, who is hilarious and who has featured Fump songs on his radio show while he was a morning DJ in Oklahoma for a couple of years. He has a song entitled Love Song Number Whatever, which is... just freaking hilarious. Basically, the hook of it is, I believe in love and all that shit, and I love the shit out of you. And I, you guys need to hear this song. I'll see if I can get him to post it on the sideshow or something so you can all share. So if anybody's in the Nashville area on Saturday, the 12th of February, come by Douglas Corner. It's either a free or a very inexpensive show starting at 8:30.
I thought you were going to say you were going to perform Ian's song.
Yes, that's actually what I'm going to do.
How sweet of you. Which part are you playing, me or my wife?
Yes.
That's the right answer.
All right, well, why don't we spin the tune here, unless anybody objects or has another reason.
I object!
And for what reason?
I work at the Bluebird.
I object. On what grounds? Coffee grounds! All right, here we go. Steve Goody with What's in My Hot Dog?
No one seems to know. No one seems to know. No one seems to want to know. But what's in my hot dog? 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 No one wants to know. There's earlobes, eyelids, elbows, a finger tip. tips, dog nose, pig glands, frog bits and chicken lips, hog butts, peanuts, cow guts, brains, toe jam, turkey spam, varicose veins. Oh, what's in my hot dog? What's in my hot dog? What's in my hot dog? No one wants to know. What's in my hot dog? What's in my hot dog? What's in my hot dog? No one wants to know. There's moose, colon, horse platter, anything that goes splatter, half a ton of puppy tongues, bucket full of camel lungs, big hairy goat tails, dirty donkey toenails, stuffed into a fabulous, edible, delectable, deep fried something dyed intestinal shell. Intestinal shell. Now I know. What's in my hot dog? What's in my hot dog? What's in my hot dog? I was better off not knowing. Now chunks I will be blowing, and cookies I'll be throwing. Insides will be showing. I guess I really didn't need to know. What's in my hot dog? What's in my hot dog? What's in my hot dog? I think I got a fever. I'm feeling kind of strange. My head feels like a whoopee cushion. My hands are a little clammy. I really want to die.
Maybe we should take you to the hot dog factory. You could be the secret ingredient.
Yeah.
Making the internet absolutely ridiculous. DementiaRadio.org.
This is the part where there's feedback.
Feedback.
Feedback. You know that segment of the show we do about now?
Feedback. Feedback.
Feedback.
Lay it on me.
We have still no new iTunes reviews, but we have an email from GX. I believe this is Echidna, E-C-H-I-D-N-A. He says, "Hello, Fump Pod. I'm hoping to get that abbreviation to stick, then branch off into other funny music spinoffs. Fump Paleontology, Fump Pepperoni, Fump Preschool, etc." Okay, now I need to break in here for a moment. Go to fump.org. F-U-M-P.org. It's the First United Methodist Preschool. So there is a Fump preschool. In fact, have you considered the Fump vids for the new video section? No, we haven't. It may be difficult to spell and awkward to look at, but it sure is fun to say. Anywho, just wanted to say I love the show. Okay, I lied. I also wanted to ask a question. As an OCD labeler and tagger, I've been trying to update all of my music with the proper artwork. Are there higher quality images of the Fump's album artwork available on the website or elsewhere online? Thus far, I've only been able to find the store's 250 by 250 pixel images. Thanks, Devo, Luke, Ian, and insert Tuesday's artist here. That would be Steve.
Hello!
So, no, there's not. That I emailed him separately about this, but the 250 by 250 is the max we have posted on the site right now. Does anyone know offhand what CD Baby's cover art is? Do they have a higher resolution posted anywhere?
I think the ones on the side are high res.
Steve, I think Steve wrote a song about this. Didn't you write a song called Resolution? I'm witty.
Wrote a song called Fump Resolution. Short answer is no, but I am working on a project regarding the albums in the store, and there will be higher image, higher resolution artwork available. At some point. In the meantime, if you want higher resolution artwork, you can just email me and I will be happy to send you some. Okay, email from Draconis. He says, "Great show as usual, Luke and Devo. Devo, I was referring to the award you mentioned receiving 2 years in a row on Manic Mondays. Ian, after that song's idea of a love child of you and Shoebox, I agree. You are insane. Luke, Sarah have a dramatic reading of her new Chris Waffle / Cake Ball / Fic at MarsCon during the Hell in a Cell death match for ownership of the spice rack between Dom Devo Spice Rockwell and Ahmed the Hacker."
No.
First of all, his name was Aldmar, Hacker Aldmar. But actually, Mr. Tuesday, if you're listening, I totally want to see Hacker Aldmar in the wrestling ring. under one condition, I have to kick his ass. If I lose to him, heads will roll.
I'd assume that could be arranged.
Yeah, I figured. Continuing, will in 10 years we see Cirque du Soleil, the Next Generation, with Captain Luke Ski Picard, Diva Sweets Rockwell, Ibit, the Spawn of Shoebox, and Energy Snackers Mezzalesta? Possibly, except that my daughter's nickname is Spot, although I do really like Ibit, the Spawn of Shoebox. to me, UR was the prototype running for Cirque du Soleil. What, just with Earl Wingard and Kerry Dalby as your backup? Your opinion? Actually, no. We had been doing.
Oh, sorry.
No, we had started the Cirque du Soleil project back in 2005, which was predates Unexplained Rash. But I believe Unexplained Rash was Kerry's idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, Kerry and I had gone on a trip to Disney World, and we were in line for a ride, and she explained to me this idea of how she got this idea to do a sketch called Unexplained Rash, but she didn't have anything for it beyond the title and the notion of there being like a theme song that went Unexplained Rash, Unexplained Rash, Unexplained Rash. And when she said that, in my mind, I immediately heard Earl's voice say, Unexplained Rash! Yeah! And I just got this idea of making it a bizarre, you know, late 80s, early 90s action kids cartoon, and then to make it a commercial for the cereal based on that kids cartoon. So I wrote the majority of it with Carrie's input, and then we kind of corralled everybody else that we could get our hands on in the dementia scene to do the, you know, various parts of that sketch. So it's cool because it does seem like a proto Cirque du Soleil what thing, even though it officially wasn't. It's still neat to think about it in those terms.
Okay, carrying on, he says, should we expect MarsCon ads on every box of Luke Ski-O's cereal, part of a demented breakfast? They're called Skeeties.
Yes.
Skeeties is the cereal.
Yeah. Get it right, man.
All the damn rival flavoring you can handle.
Yes. I love that line. Will we hear Chris Mezzalesta do the new MarsCon snippets on the Fumpcast? Unlikely anytime soon, as Chris is dealing with some shit.
Yes. We love you, Chris.
We love you, Chris. Will there be room on the party bus for alcohol, snacks, and everything else while Party Rob is partying?
Yes.
That is a damn good question. is there going to be a doctor on the bus to check Party Rob for alcohol poisoning?
Let's hope it doesn't come to that, Sarah says.
And who will win in the Marvel versus DC LARP MMCRPG, massively multiplayer convention role-playing game? And who will win in the opening drum-off between Wingard of the Nick Adams versus Drumbot of the Consortium of Genius, COG? That one's easy, Drumbot, because Wingard plays bass. And, during feedback later on, may I make a suggestion for episode 50 special? Yeah, absolutely. Any suggestions are more than welcome. So thank you, Draconis. We have a comment from Mr. Wompy. He says, welcome to the Droid X world, Luke Ski. I love mine, except for the Facebook app sucks a bit.
Yeah, I am happy with my Droid thus far, so yay for that.
Does the Facebook app actually suck a bit?
I haven't messed with it too much. It doesn't seem... I spent a whole lot of time at the Verizon Wireless website doing their backup assistant thing so that I could reorganize my my phone numbers in there and my contacts so that I deleted out about 100 numbers I didn't need, and I made sure all the names were correct and stuff and got that all set. And then the next day I went to add my Twitter and Facebook accounts to it, and then without asking me if I wanted it to do so, it loaded all my Twitter and all my Facebook contacts into my main contacts list. It's like, no! I just pared it down to what I need, and now there's all this extra crap in there!
Google likes doing stuff like that. So, they just assume that everyone you've ever talked to is someone you want to continue talking to, and they make them a contact.
Yeah, so it's not the end of the world by any means, but... You know, so far I'm overall really happy with the Droid X, so, yeah.
Cool.
I'm surprised you didn't get the R2-D2 droid.
Have you seen the C-3PO bathing suit?
Yeah, and the R2-D2 bathing suit, yes, I've seen both of those.
Okay, we also one final comment from Slightly D, who makes a brief addendum to his drinking game. He says, when Luke mentions MarsCon, take a nice cool sip of ice water. When anyone else mentions it, take two drinks. So that's feedback for the week.
MarsCon.
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 Con on the Cob.
You have the MarsCon.
PenguinCon.
RavenCon. Balticon.
Intercourse the PenguinCon.
Let's just list all the cons we're performing at.
I already did.
Intervention.
Intervention. Yes, intervention.
All right.
My brain's not that far ahead yet. That's like next September.
Yes.
Are we?
But yes, I am booked at intervention.
Are we teasing anything at the moment, sir?
Teasing? Yes. Tomorrow we have a new song by Nuclear Bubble Wrap, which is actually a cover. Me and Jace had a little email exchange because we don't generally allow covers on the Fump, but I found out that this isn't a cover of the band I thought it was. It turns out the band I thought it was actually also did a cover, and the original song is a public domain folk song. So,
interesting.
There you go. Yeah. And Tuesday's song, even though it's not posted yet, I know something by this artist will be posted, because it is TV's Kyle, and he is doing the, February album in a month challenge or whatever it's called.
Yes.
And it's only February 3rd, and he already has, I think, 4 songs recorded. So one of those 4 songs, or if not more, will go up on Tuesday. So
excellent.
Well, his February album is going to have like 85 tracks on it. Wow.
That's as if you say Kyle may be prolific.
Yes.
So his,
Kyle helped
his,
me with my Weird Al song too.
Yeah. His set at MarsCon could theoretically be all songs nobody's ever heard before.
It could, yes.
So, insane Ian, plug yourself, sir.
That sounds so nasty.
As I mentioned before, I'm going to be at Farpoint on the 18th to the 20th. I'm doing a panel there about indie music. I'm doing 2 songs at the Masquerade Halftime on Saturday. Sunday, I have a show at 11 a.m., and then at 3 p.m. in the main ballroom, me and Rob Balder are doing a Fump set.
Woohoo!
And I was going to have another Fump song for February, but I can't get it done in time, so that's not happening.
Aww.
But I should be having my Kickstarter page up very, very, very soon for Grand Theft Audio. Because I have the preliminary edit of the Dig Dug music video so far, and the Kickstarter page will hopefully help fund the finishing of that.
Awesome.
Cool.
And many other video-type things.
Excellent. And your website is?
www.insaneian.com.
Excellent.
You can also see me on Facebook. You can like me on Facebook at facebook.com/insaneianmusic. Or you can Twitter me at twitter.com/insaneianb.
Excellent.
And if you're feeling really adventurous, you can take me on Xbox Live, gamertag insaneianb.
Ooh. And with that, we go to Mr. Steve Goody. Please plug yourself, good sir.
Ah, plug yourself, Luke. I'm sorry. the Douglas Corner, Nashville on February 12th for all kinds of fun Valentine-y stuff. Los Angeles, the Talking Stick on February the 26th, the Saturday.
Yes,
MarsCon. MarsCon.
MarsCon.
MarsCon. Nothing but MarsCon. And go to www.stevegoody.com and buy everything you see.
All righty. I guess that wraps up the show. So, this has been the Great Luke Ski.
This is Devo Spice.
And then there's other guys who say things.
Things!
Things.
MarsCon.
Thank you for listening to the Funny Music Podcast. You can listen live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, at DementiaRadio.org. And join us in the chat. Or subscribe to the podcast feed. Look us up on iTunes and be sure to leave us a review. Feedback for the show can be sent to info@thefump.com. The Funny Music Podcast is a production of Fidem Interactive, LLC, released under a Creative Commons share-alike license. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Shout it to random people on the street. And be sure to visit thefump.com for the latest funny songs. Tune in next week, where you'll hear Luke Ski say...
Good one, Luke.
Did you guys hear that?
No.
Oh, darn it.